Jingles. This episode of the TK Jingles podcast is going to be a little bit different because I just have a lot of stuff to talk about. I've been getting ready for this summer's Jingle Fest number 3. It's been driving me insane, but I finally have a venue signed up today. We're good to go. We're going to be at the Bethesda Marriott. I'm really excited about that. If you're traveling into town, we've got a promotional rate, $99 a night. I hope you take advantage of it. It'll be available starting March 13th or 14th if you use the name TK Jingles. And there are a lot of Marriotts in Bethesda I've been made aware of. So I'll be sending out the details to all the folks that backed on Kickstarter. But if you're curious, it's the one at 5151 Pooks Hill Road in Bethesda, Maryland, 20814. But today, as I mentioned, is going to be a little bit different. We're going to play some songs. I'm not going to spend a lot of time introducing them. And then in between those songs, you're going to hear lots of me talking. And I'm going to catch you up on the process of planning for the Jingle Fest, because I think it's kind of interesting. And then follow up on last week's topic of the unsolicited jingles and kind of why I'm not on the show. And I got some additional insight into that, and I think it's interesting and will dramatically influence the future of this show and the website and Jingle Fest and everything else around that. So we'll get to that back towards the end of the show. But for now, let's play a couple of songs because, in general, that's what most of you are here to listen to.
Look, if you had one shot or an opportunity to flush your kid's inheritance down the toilet in one business venture, would you do it? Yo, he's mostly grouchy, head bald, old and craggy, fry fragments on his jacket, bowling alley, he's flush, but here comes what we know will happen to blow cash, cause he's not known as Abby, now his estate's incinerated on our place to chow, a vacant house, I'm soon a citation, wow! Even Nick Cage claims that boy's insane, his financial advisor breaks, now he's boiling eggs! The plan was a travesty, blown shot, swaggy pee, dough dramatically disrobed, like bad logic exposed as a Ronstadt under Dodgers jacket peak. Tony's podcast is the only fallback, so he's toast, like a slab of beef, groans over Gaspopies. Whoa, DA can't believe he's such a dope and rapidly screams till he's acetate horse while such stacks pennies. At least he owns a real restaurant and not Applebee's. You're lose your wealth in this restaurant. You own it, you're blown it. Inheritance is gonna go. In first place till the last and like the caps you choke. You better call Michael, tell him life is raining. You're gonna lose your wealth in this restaurant. You own it, you're blown it. Inheritance is gonna go. In first place till the last and like the caps you choke. You better call Michael, tell him life is raining. Tone. You can lose anything you set your mind to, Tony.
If you're just here for the songs, that's the best song of the show, so you probably can just stop listening right now. I can proudly say that I finally had a lyric on the show after 3.5 months, because that was my idea. And Luke wrote some amazing lyrics for it, but I wanted to do Lose Your Wealth for about a year. And when he bought the restaurant, I said, oh my God, this is gold, this is it. But due to a variety of circumstances, I've been a little bit too busy to do that. I'm sure I would not have done anywhere nearly as good of a job as Luke did on that. So kudos, Luke. Fantastic. Here's some more songs.
Cause his pain is prolonged, so tonight, from Tony Kornheiser's head, it's the Earworm Stopper, starring David Aldridge. And here's Tony!
Connolly and his kids, Sean Morrissey, Red Wise, John Fitzpatrick. This is a song, oh, for all my friends who write and sing jingles about monkeys, bridges, boiled eggs, and ponies. Let the music flow like a growly KJ and Tony Beeson. He has a piano. The incomparable Robert Berg, Patrick Moffitt, Steve Lipton, and Luke Overby. Byron Katter, oh, and Neil in Rockville, Elliot Olshansky. We all do songs about an old bald orange man. Shout out to Shadon, D.C., Jason Fuse, and Hampton Hager, and Robert Skolnicki. Sail on pontoon boat, sail away. Blake Trinan and Chuck Bell, he adds new names every day. This podcast names, oh, Thursday show. Where are you, Bill Bardo, John Wells, Jack Wright, and John Nicewinger? How are you, Gretchen Wu? Just a song for all the TK Jinglers.
Last year, we held Even Liver at Penn Social, a bar in downtown Washington, D.C. And for the most part, it was great. We had a few minor issues. They didn't allow kids in there. The sound tech guy, it was his second day on the job, so he had no idea what he was doing. But for the most part, it was fine. And it was communicated to me that Red Zebra / Window Nation, in their sponsorship of the event, had paid somewhere in the neighborhood of $600 just to reserve the room. And then the bar was happy to have us, either due to their friendship with Tony through the Dawson Group or just because there were 600 people that were going to be there spending money, they were happy to have us in there using the space. So when I was planning this summer's Jingle Fest, I kind of assumed that bars and restaurants in the area would have a similar thing going. If I said, hey, I can bring you 300 people, they would line up to have us in there. And that was pretty naive, it turns out. When I went back to Penn Social, their answer was, no, we don't really want you back. You crowd out our regulars. And I've been to Penn Social, and it seems like there's only ever like 50 or 100 people in there. I was surprised that would be an issue. But they said, oh, no, if you want to reserve this, the price went up from $600 to $30,000. Oh, my God. All right, well, you guys are part of a conglomerate, so do you have any other recommendations of places I can reserve? And so they recommended one of their new spinoff restaurants located in Ivy City. And so I, just a few weeks ago, took a trip over to Ivy City to scout this place out. And so it's up, it's in Northeast DC, a little bit of a rougher part of town than by the Verizon Center. And as I'm driving up, I noticed there's no metros anywhere nearby. It's pretty hard to get to except just by driving. And it's just a bunch of, burned out old industrial buildings. There's just a lot of urban decay and abandoned warehouses and stuff like that. And when my GPS tells me I'm there, I'm not really even sure what it's talking about because there's basically like an alleyway to turn into, but there's not really much going on other than a bunch of homeless guys standing around everywhere. So I turn into this little street, and sure enough, there is this restaurant there. And parked all along the street are a mix of, it was just so bizarre, really old, rusted out cars and brand new luxury vehicles just parked together, surrounded by just squalor, just homeless men laying around, standing everywhere. It was just packed with people. And then amongst all those homeless guys, as I got out of the car, I went and went to the restaurant. They're sitting on the step just kind of hanging out, and the place was closed. And this was at 3:30 on a Thursday, so that was already kind of a red flag. This is happy hour. Why isn't this place open if it's such a hot, happening bar where we should be having an event? And the guy that was supposed to show me the space, he was running about 10 minutes late. So I had 10 minutes just to kind of stand there and loiter out front of the place with all the other guys. And as I'm looking around, I noticed that it's not just, the homeless. There are also young millennials, bearded men carrying babies wandering around, going into across the street, various little hipster joints. There's like a little cheese shop and a brewery and stuff that's there. And it's just such a non sequitur. I mean, this area does not seem like it's really been renewed yet. It's probably a couple years away from that. And these guys are all just moving in there trying to fix up the neighborhood. But anyway, it's far removed from that. So I'm just standing there kind of observing this bizarre area around there. And I notice about 5 feet away from me, there's a young man just standing there. Rather preppy looking guy just standing on the corner, and he's got a bag of McDonald's. And this seems a little bit odd because there's no McDonald's anywhere around there, but he's just standing there holding his bag of McDonald's. And one of those little rent a car for a day type things, the ride sharing cars that people who don't own cars in DC pay some monthly fee to use. One of those tiny little cars pulls up. There's two young college aged looking girls in there. They pull over to the side of the street. They reach out. They hand the guy something, they pull something out of the McDonald's bag, and then they drive away. That's kind of strange. I guess they're hungry for French fries. I'm not sure why they would be getting that from him. And then sure enough, a few minutes later, another one of these small little rental cars pulls up, and the exact same thing happens. And I realize, oh my God, this guy's just dealing drugs out front of the restaurant where I'm considering having the Jingle Fest. This is not good. I'm not sure we can have this here. So anyway, so then the manager shows up, takes me inside, shows me around, and unfortunately the venue is not it all suited. He was so excited and so nice and friendly and accommodating, but the venue was basically shaped like a, from overhead, like a giant V or an L, where the place we would have the event would, like the stage would be at the Nexus, and they had no type of stage of any kind. They said that they would build one for us, and that sounded a little bit odd. And they didn't really have any speakers of any kind. They said they could bring those in. There was no lighting. The projector they had to go behind the bar. It couldn't aim at the place where we'd have the stage. The whole thing just made no sense. And if we had done it there, the room would have been separated into two long rows of people along this L shape of the bar that wouldn't have really been able to see each other, interact with each other. They would have been staring at the stage, but then, divided by this big wall between them all. So it was a disaster. And I figured at this point, there really was nothing to do in terms of restaurants and bars because we now had 200 RSVPs. And the large places in town, the Hamilton, a lot of the other venues, I contacted them. Same story, $30,000 bar minimum, $20,000 bar minimum, just outrageous prices. And you know, as much as I love the folks that are coming to this thing, I'm not going to guarantee they're going to spend $20,000 on food and drink. So they were just non-starters.
I've been a listener through all of the show's iterations. I know what time you wake up. Now so many useless details fill my brain. And now the podcast reigns. The costs have put you in the red. And for my help you pled. And so I did the thing you said. I bought stuff from you.
I bought stuff from you.
Each morning, each podcast has you squealing. You don't know how to deal with this business stuff you've brought upon yourself. Like to flout your wealth, and you go on and on about it. Now you won't be without it, cause those hat sales went kaboom. I bought stuff from you.
I bought stuff from you.
I bought stuff from you, and here's what I'm so afraid of. It's a hoodie I won't put on. It'll stay right in that top drawer. I bought stuff from you. Don't know what these shorts are made of. Cause I always hear you say that Modal stuff the wrong way.
So once the restaurant thing kind of fell through after my trip to Ivy City, I started looking around for maybe hotels. I thought hotel ballrooms might be a good choice. And so I found a cool app online where you could put out RFPs to hotels and they would respond and pitch you what they could accommodate. And all the places I was thinking of that had a ballroom that could hold 300, 400 people, they seemed to have bar minimums and food drink minimums that were similar to the things like Penn Social and the Hamilton, where they expected $20,000 up front to reserve the hotel. I mean, you know, it's like you're planning a wedding reception or something, but an insanely expensive wedding reception. I guess, once again, very naive in assuming what a hotel would take. So I found a really nice venue in Springfield that I had actually had guests stay at for my wedding, and the Springfield Hilton. It was perfect. They had a $2,000 food drink minimum. I figured we could guarantee that, and it was all set to be signed. And then at the last minute, they realized that they had a conflict. There was a group that had previously booked that had actually grown a little bit and now needed to use that space. So they were going to call them and see if they would get out of there. But you know, it turned out no, that was non-negotiable. So we couldn't go with that. So then there was another couple of options in Springfield. There was a Holiday Inn Express, and their deal was pretty fascinating, where basically I would pay $3,000 or something to reserve the hotel, and then I would need to buy my own liquor license and provide my own food and drink and security or whatever else, my own AV, my own everything, basically just reserving a room. And so that was interesting, but the idea of having to deal with all that nonsense of going out and buying all that stuff and then the liability if somebody had the drinks and got into an accident, the idea of me having to provide all that just seemed like a terrible idea, regardless of how that actually may have saved me some money. So I quickly scrapped that plan. Then there was a really nice Springfield place. Well, it had a Springfield address, but basically it was on Fort Belvoir. I mean, it was so far south of the city. But there's an Embassy Suites. And their deal, unfortunately, they had a pretty high food drink minimum. It was like $6,000 or something. And they would give us a room rate of like $120 a night, but you had to reserve a hotel block for a guest, because I think the regular rate was like $150 or something, and they would give us this discount to $120. You could reserve it in groups of 10 at a time, and then if people didn't use it, then I was on the hook to pay the difference. And so that was instantly a pretty stupid idea too. And then the leading contender amongst all these second-rate hotels that I was dealing with, because all the nice hotels wanted nothing to do with me because I didn't have 20 or 30 grand, the leading contender was a Holiday Inn in Crystal City, about half a mile from Reagan National Airport. And so the location seemed perfect. It's in Virginia, just across the river. And so this Holiday Inn, I went to see the place, and they said it's a $4,000 food drink minimum, and then there's some additional overhead to pay for the audiovisual costs and some taxes and fees, and the taxes and stuff on food in Virginia, Maryland, D.C. are like 30%. So whatever we do for this thing, I'm going to have to pay a 30% tax on that on top of it. So if we spend $3,000, I'll pay $1,000 myself just in taxes for this stupid thing. So this is all just adding up so quickly and just, you know, has me has me questioning why I'm going to all the trouble of doing this. But anyway, so the Holiday Inn, they tell me it's a $4,000 minimum, and they ask me how I would like to split that between food and drink, because I tell them I have right now about 200 RSVPs. It may grow, it may shrink a little bit. I really don't know at this point. We're still 3 months out, but it's about 200 people. So, you know, okay, well, if it's 4,000 and they say you have to provide food because we can't just serve alcohol, then, you know, that's negligent. We have to be feeding people if they're going to be drinking. I said, all right, well, why don't we take that 4,000 and I'll guarantee you a $3,000 bar minimum at a cash bar. People, you know, 200 people will spend $3,000, I assume. And then I'll pay for $1,000 worth of appetizers of some sort. I mean, that seems reasonable. That seems fair. And so the hotel event manager kind of raised her eyebrows and said, wow, $3,000 for 200 people? That's a lot of booze. I don't know that we've ever had anybody spend that much money on alcohol at this hotel before. You really must have a drinking crowd. I said, well, wait, what? But you know, 200 people, $3,000, that's like $15 a person, maybe two drinks. I mean, that doesn't seem like that much given DC prices. Okay, I guess. I mean, it's not a rowdy group at all, I assure you. But but it seems reasonable to me anyway. I don't want to buy these people dinner. I mean, that's my bottom line with all these hotels I'm talking to is, you know, I'm not going to spend $5,000 on plated meals for everybody or $10,000, whatever you want me to spend. I'm going to have some hors d'oeuvres, some appetizers. I guess I'll eat that cost that was kind of unplanned earlier in the process. I'll do that so we have some food to enjoy. But I'm not going to spend it all on food. I can guarantee you that they'll buy booze from you, but that's about it. So she said, all right, well, let me talk to my director and get back to you because I'm not really sure how we can deal with this. So remember, this was a Holiday Inn, Crystal City, $4,000 combined food drink minimum. They get back to me a day later and say, all right, after considering your proposal to offer a 3-to-1 drink to food ratio, here is our counterproposal. Now we'll allow you to have $2,500 of food, and then you can still have the $3,000 bar minimum. And we'd like to add $1,000 worth of security, because obviously you have a very rowdy crowd, and we can't have a bunch of drunks destroying our hotel. So we'll offer you $1,000 to have a security team there now. And then we're also going to have to charge you an additional $1,000 for bartenders and cashiers, because you're going to be selling so much booze that we're going to have to staff not just one bartender, but three, maybe four or five. And we're just going to be overwhelmed with your crowd. And I just couldn't believe it. Like, what? Wait, what happened here? And so I called back the event manager and said, yeah, I went and talked to my director. The director said that your proposal of a 3-to-1 ratio is a major red flag and that we just really need to be careful that you guys don't get out of control. So she changed the parameters of the deal, and that's the new deal. And I said, well, you understand, this is basically a bunch of nerds who are fans of a 70-year-old man doing a podcast. This is not a rowdy crowd. This is the third year we're doing this. You're not going to have any trouble here. I mean, I assure you that, and you know, there's nothing's going to happen. What do you expect us to do? I said, well, I've already talked to the director. I really feel kind of bad having to talk to her again. You know, I mean, she set this out. That's kind of the deal. So, you know, maybe we can work with that. I said, no, that's not going to work. Go back and talk to her again. Explain that this is not a loud crowd. I'm happy to talk to her myself. This is ridiculous. And so then I didn't hear from them for like 4 or 5 days. So now I'm kind of staring at the wall, like, what? You know, I'm running out of options here. I've got 3 or 4 hotels. They all have some major weird drawback. Some really nice littles came out and suggested Moose Lodges and American Legion halls and different places around the area that would have accommodated us, but also would have been a little bit out of the way. Didn't have a hotel attached. I kind of had grown fond of the idea of having a hotel room in the same building as the event, so that you could just walk upstairs after it was over, or even use that as kind of a staging area before the event to get ready and take a little rest or something. So anyway, I went back to the RFP site. I put out a call for another 10 hotels in the area, just really broadened the search. And of the 10 I inquired about, only one got back. It was a Marriott in Bethesda, just inside the Beltway on Wisconsin Avenue, which is basically right between the McDonald's / Bagel City area that we'll be going to on the bus tour, and Chad's in Friendship Heights. It's kind of in the middle there on Wisconsin Avenue. So the location actually is pretty convenient. It's on a little side road off Wisconsin. And all the details of this venue will be available on the website. So don't worry about that right now. But anyway, so they came back and they said, similar to the other place, $6,000 bar minimum and all these things. This isn't going to work. I talked to the Marriott event manager, though, and she was really nice. And she said, you know, instead of having a cash bar, because for us, a cash bar does not count towards your minimum. What I can do is offer you drink tickets, and you could have, you know, 5,000 of that be drink tickets, and then just buy $1,000 worth of food, or you could do a 50-50. It really doesn't matter to us as long as you have some food, and you guarantee it by buying the drink tickets. Then we can make a deal. And so I decided to go up to Bethesda. I took a look at the place. It's fantastic. The location is great, given what we're doing. And it was kind of a no-brainer. But before I closed it, I did get a call back from the Holiday Inn. This time it was the manager. And, you know, it had been now 5 days not hearing from them. And she said, oh, yeah, the person you're working with has been out of the office, but I figured I'd get back to you because she had alerted me to your case. And I just wanted to make sure I understood what it was you guys were trying to do. And so we talked on the phone for 30 minutes. And it was one of the most frustrating conversations I've ever had. So she said, tell me a little bit about what your event is. And I said, oh, well, it's about this old man who does a podcast where he complains about weather and traffic. And these are fans of his show. And we submit these parody songs to his show, and they play one every day. And once a year, we get together and just do a sort of a karaoke show to celebrate those songs. And it's just really a fun social gathering of folks getting together just to kind of perform this show. And it's pretty low key. And, you know, it's and I kind of described what had happened in years past. And she said, all right, well, explain to me, you know, the drinking and all this and that. And she's going on and on about those things. And where are all these people coming from? And we started just going on these random tangents where I said, well, the people are coming from, you know, all over the country. We've got 36 states registered this time. And I said, you know what? And she said, well, did you raise any money for this event? I said, yeah, I raised some money, but that's really just to pay the performers that are traveling in. She said, wait a minute, performers? You didn't mention anything about performers. I said, well, yeah, I did. I mean, we mentioned the karaoke thing. That's what I mean by performers. She said, well, which is it, performers or karaoke singers? I said, well, what? I mean, what difference does that make? I mean, it's the same thing. So anyway, we talked for about a half hour, and it was so argumentative. And it was the kind of person that I don't think she was intentionally being rude, just had one of those very curt speaking styles where everything was clipped and abrupt. And just came off as just really rude and annoying. So anyway, I said, look, I'm not going to waste your time anymore. I found a better place. We're done. So long story short, 11 minutes later, we are now going to do this at the Bethesda Marriott in Bethesda, Maryland. And so it's kind of cool. We did Virginia, D.C., Maryland. Maybe next year we'll do Pennsylvania or outer space. I don't know. We'll keep moving up.
She works 5 days a week now. Her sudden rise comes as no shock. More viewers means more money. She's the new girl by her stock. In DC she calls rain or shine. She's already got the Today Show on her mind. The whole Storm team knows Chuck Bell's on the street. He's out, he better pack warm clothes. Chuck Bell's out on the street. Oh, 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 oh. That's him there on the cold sidewalk. Chuck Bell's out on the street. Oh, 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 oh. Trying so hard to get passers-by to talk. She is here about a week. Kick Chuck out on the street.
So the event itself at the Bethesda Marriott, it's at 5151 Pooks Hill Road in Bethesda, just off Wisconsin Avenue, just inside the Beltway. I think it's around exit 34. Just past the 270 spur there in the northwest corner of Washington, D.C. in Maryland. And there's free parking to everybody who comes to the event. I plead that if you are coming, that you purchase some drink tickets, because I basically need to buy them in advance. I'll be buying 3,000 or 4,000, some significant number. And these drinks are soft drinks, whatever else. It's all the same ticket. And they'll be available to pick up there. I'm hoping I can pre-sell most of them so that I'm not on the hook for all this. And then I'll be providing some food. And this year's setup, I think, is going to be a lot like we did at Kilroy's, where we'll have a stage, we'll have a projector, and then it's going to be kind of a DIY sound experience between Joe Arrow, Jason Fuse, myself, and then hopefully some technicians so that all those guys can actually enjoy the party like we did last year when we had the motley crew of scrubs helping us. Even then, at least, you know, we could enjoy the show. Anyway, free parking. There's a restaurant inside the hotel, where you can enjoy a meal there before the event. It's very close to Chad's if you'd like to go there a second time, if you're going there for lunch or dinner. If you're joining the bus tour, we're planning to leave sometime early morning, probably 8:39. I'm still working on that time right now and the whole itinerary for that event. We'll be leaving from the hotel. We'll drive up into Rockville and check out Bagel City for breakfast. We may have a stop at a Metro there along the way to pick up folks that aren't staying at the hotel as a secondary pickup spot. And then we'll kind of go back down into the city, go to La Cheeserie, visit some other sites in the area, and then we'll conclude with lunch at Chad's. So that's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really excited about that bus tour. We've only got a couple of tickets left for that. That's proven to be almost as much of a nuisance as the hotel. When the bus company, when I sought quotes, I foolishly did not specify the correct month. I planned this back in January, so I wrote to all these places and said, please tell me a price for January 24th, 2017. And what I really meant was June 24th, 2017. So I got all these quotes, and I used that to base the Kickstarter reward package and the ticket price for the bus at $20, because I think that it worked out to a 50-person bus was going to be like $600 or $700. And I figured, all right, that will give me a little bit of extra profit that I could use to pay for KJ's flight or to use to pay for venue costs or whatever else. But no, it turns out that that's the rate in January, and the rate in June is essentially exactly what it cost for the tickets that I sold. So I think of a 52-person bus, it costs like $1,100 for the bus rental. So essentially that Kickstarter, most of that money is just at cost. So that was kind of a pointless exercise in me even having that for this aspect of the tour anyway. But I'm really looking forward to that. It's going to be fun. We're going to have to split it across two buses because we have 85 people registered, 88 people registered somewhere in that neighborhood now, and I think we can take 92, so we're getting pretty close to capacity. I'm not going to get a third bus. Too much hassle and too much money, to be sure. So if you haven't registered for that and you intend to go, you got to go right now to tkjingles.com/store and get your ticket because that's it. That's the list. As for the event itself, Michael and Tony have always asked that we keep this thing free, and I respect that, and I wish that we could, but it's costing me a significant amount of money, and I will definitely be losing money this year unless I do some other fundraiser-type event, but I really don't care. I would like not to lose money, but it's been such a fun hobby for me these last 4 years doing this. This really feels like it's the end of an era. I don't know if it's the last Jingle Fest, but given the state of things right now, it very well may be, so I'm happy just to do this. I really want to have a fun time with all these folks that I've met over the last 4 years, with you, if you're listening to this. Come out and join us. It's going to be great. The hotel itself is offering everybody a $99 night rate. It'll be available starting either Monday or Tuesday, around March 13th or 14th. It'll be available if you call the Bethesda Marriott you give them the name TK Jingles. They'll know what that means, and they'll offer you that rate. I really wanted to have the code be Smouge, but that just confused the hell out of them, and they couldn't use Smouge because then they would have to use Smouge as their event name in the registry, and then everything having to do with the event will be called Smouge, and it would just get really confusing really quickly, and nobody would know how to pronounce that. But anyway, the place itself is going to be great. I'm really glad that we're kind of completing the trilogy here in Maryland. It's going to be cool. And the location is nice. Gary Braun, our most steadfast supporter these past 4 years, lives much, much closer to there than he does to D.C. or Northern Virginia. So I know Gary is traveling for work the week before that. He's supposed to get back that afternoon. So I'm really hopeful that Gary is going to be able to join us at the event. As for Tony and the rest of the gang, it's still kind of TBD. The first year, they were basically uncommitted until the Friday before that Saturday that they were coming. Last year they committed back in February or March just because Red Zebra was going to sponsor it and make it some type of promotion for the radio station. And then this year, because of some other issues, they are still non-committal, but I'm hoping we have that worked out in the next few months so that hopefully that can change.
Man does a live read, it says, say why you love your razor. Hey now, I like my razor, but love's a little too far. Do you have a job opportunity? Need tickets to a sporting event, son? You need life insurance before you go to the graveyard. Tony or Tony K just entered a code at checkout. Got some neat stuff coming to your door. Fresh ingredients, ingredients. Gonna cook us something nice to eat. Made to measure suits aren't just for rich guys anymore. If you need new underwear, I've got a discount for you, pal. The stuff is made of modal. Michael, is it modal or is it called modal? Called modal.
So when we go for lunch at Chad's for the group outing for the TK Jingles live event, there will be a reduced menu for simplicity so they can get us in and out of there. I'll be working with Michael and with the manager at the restaurant to make sure that we have some good options for everybody. But the goal with 85 people going in there, I don't even know if they have the capacity. We're going to pack that place. Is to keep everybody able to order quickly and then kind of be on our way and get out of there. So that's going to be fine in terms of the lunch itself, excuse me. So I'm excited about that. As for the other stuff around it, those details there, I spoke to Michael about that a few weeks ago, and the same day that I went to that ridiculous Ivy City venue. And then I also talked to him about some of the other kind of questions I've had and concerns I've had. And, asking specifically why they never mentioned the website and why I haven't been on the show in almost 3.5 months, something like that. And I didn't really get many clear answers. I don't want to divulge the conversation too much. But one thing that was clear is that they don't appear to be upset with me, as some trolls of this podcast have suggested. It's really more having to do with some legal issues. So I got a call then a few days later from the lawyer for Digital IMG, and they offered to license me the name TK Jingles for the next few years. And it's not clear exactly what that means. I don't know that I would have to pay anything necessarily, but basically they said, hey, we'll license it to you, and then at that point it reverts to us. So I suspect that the reason that they haven't mentioned my website at all in the podcast era and why they just basically now I'm persona non grata is that I am the, figurehead of this entity, which is perceived to be some type of threat or infringing thing or conflated, confused entity, whatever you want to call it, that because the letters TK are in the title, that somehow is a brand issue with a property that IMG or Tony or whoever within that conglomerate actually owns. So I don't know how I'm going to handle that. I would have been happy to give this to them. And I made that very clear that I don't want to sell you anything. If you really want that name, you could have it now. I've offered to Mark and Nigel for the past 6 months that rather than the jingles at tonycornizershow.com email address, which I've lampooned with the Chinese food thing so many times, but rather than that, which I feel like is rather nonsensical because it just puts it in an inbox and doesn't have any type of implicit agreement in terms of legality or ownership or anything, that if they had a website like TK Jingles that you had to check a box, that you got around the legal terms of that when you submitted a song, that you got an email receipt that said this has been sent to the show and it's now, we can do all the X, Y, and Z with it, that would be a far more valuable tool for them. So I proposed that to the lawyer and he didn't understand why I would want to give this away and what that would even mean. But to me, everything that I've done with TK Jingles, with the Jingle Fest, and even with this ridiculous bus tour, I've done these things because they're things that I wanted to participate in. And I felt that nobody else was going to do it. So after I'd done a couple of jingles, I was so excited about that. I said, I want to have a place where this can be shared and where I can go hear all the other awesome ones that I just heard during this ticket contest and elsewhere, and I can go and discover these things. And so I built the website for that. And then a year or so later, I was feeling this sense of community around it and excitement as it started to become a bigger thing, and we had all these named people doing it all the time. I wanted to have a live show where we could all get together and just kind of celebrate that. And then last year, when I was doing the Even Liver thing, I had this idea of doing a bus tour, but it just seemed too complicated and stupid, so I put it off. And then this year, I said, just to change things up, let's just to one-up what we did last year, you know, not knowing what the venue situation was going to be. I said, let's just go ahead and do that. I mean, maybe we'll get 20 people that want to take a bus tour. Now we have almost 90. So, you know, I mentioned last week in the podcast when I was feeling a little bit frustrated by this, and of course I still do, but that everything I've done here has been unsolicited. And now it's kind of moved on to unrequited. But, you know, it's unsolicited. I do this because I want this, because I think other people will like this. And I have some very strong feelings and philosophies just about marketing content and how that should work and how to help strengthen what it is that those guys do. And I'd love to be a part of it. So we'll see, you know, as that gets worked out here, I will continue to work closely with them. And maybe you'll see this whole thing just kind of fold up come July 1st, because whatever, you know, they want to work out becomes too restrictive, and it just makes it so that it's either doesn't make sense for me to continue or you know, create some other issues that I can't foresee right now. Or, you know, maybe we'll just continue on with this TK Jingles name for a couple of years. I know that Tony's contract with ESPN also ends in about 2 years, so assuming he survives this purge of salary dump that they're doing at ESPN right now, if he's fine with from all that nonsense, because PTI is a great show and well-rated show, then the end of the TK Jingles ownership thing would kind of coincide with the end of his current deal with them and also with his 70th birthday. So I'm not sure how much longer he plans to work at ESPN after that. I mean, maybe he's got some plans to keep going a lot longer, but you know, that would line up nicely, you know, with that whole timeline there, and give us a couple years to continue to enjoy this as it is now. And then the other option is, you know, we just kind of shift gears and maybe rename this thing to, I've got a couple other ideas in mind, and just rename it so that we don't have the initials TK in there, because that's perceived as an issue by some lawyers in California. And then just continue going on from there. And then hopefully the warm embrace of the jingle screeners comes back my way, and we're all singing Kumbaya and Chaputzfah and all the other fun songs that we know and love going forward.
These little songs, they make me so happy. They're short and dumb and sometimes funny. Yeah, these little songs, they make me so happy. But it's good, it's good, it's good that they're free.
Little known fact, it was the success of Jerry's TK Jingles podcast that prompted this whole thing,
yes,
for Tony.